I'm just going to introduce Father. It's, of course, for all of us present, it's a great privilege to have Father Gabriel in our presence, knowing that being so far away, we don't often have the opportunity to listen to the words of our founders. And of course, Father Gabriel was the first to join Father Stefano, in the renewal of the Franciscan order with the Franciscans of the Immaculate, and specifically emphasizing the Marian character of the Franciscan order, which St. Maximian Kolbe recognized as being a principal part of the order from its very foundation with St. Francis. And thus, St. Francis rebuilding the church, restoring the church, through, especially as Maximian Kolbe said, ultimately through devotion to Our Lady and bringing souls to consecrate themselves to Our Lady. And so it's a great privilege to have with us Father Gabriel, who's collaborated with Father Stefano in the founding of the MIM, the Mission of the Immaculate Mediatrix, and the Third Order of Franciscans. And that we are very privileged to have him with us to hear his fatherly counsel and discourse leading us to love the Immaculate and to give ourselves ever more perfectly to the Immaculate. Thank you, Father.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you, and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for the enemies of the Holy Church, and those recommended to you.
Saint Francis, Saint Maximilian,
pray for us.
I am very glad to be with you also this year. It is something surprising to see that every time I come, it is the third Sunday of the month, means when you have the meeting. 2-3 times happened already, so also this year I'm glad to meet you. And so also to tell you simple words. Apart from my English, anyway, whatever comes from my mind, from my heart, I will refer to you. As the Father says, one thing is important, that we love every day more the Immaculate, because it is true, the Immaculate, as Maximina stressed very much, the world will be saved. Will be saved, that is. So this is what, this is my simple topic. I could divide in 2-3 points. One is what I'm telling you is things that you know very, very well already. First point, to emphasize the role and also the mission of our Blessed Mother. Second point, the mission of the Franciscans, of the Immaculate. Then, how to we Franciscans of the Immaculate have to collaborate with Mary's mission, so that what God expects from us and will be fulfilled. And so, what we first has to come the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and so all the world will be oriented more towards God. So first point is, what is the mission and role of our Blessed Mother in the humanity, in the history of salvation? What is the role of Mary, the mission of Mary? As you know, Mary is the new Eve. The new Eve. And after the great damage of Eve, after the original sin, immediately came out from the mind of God, although there was in another form, that the Redeemer, according to the Franciscan philosophy, the Son of God would have come the same among us, although not to save the world, but to bring all creation to God. But then after the fall of Adam and Eve, what happened? God has to review, in one sense, his plan. So that is the plan we are talking about. That God promised to send his beloved Son to be the Savior, Redeemer of the world. But not only he promised the Son to come among us, but he promised also the mother of the Son of the Son of God made man to be and come, and to be in a resistance. But she was given a very, very particular role, not only to be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God made man, not only to be the Son of Jesus, but to have a particular role, a particular mission, which is extremely important for us to understand, to know, so to see also the importance of the Franciscans of the Immaculate. What was the special role of our Blessed Mother? God himself said, she will crush you, she will crush the head of the serpent, she will crush. That is the mission, which was entrusted only to Mary and to all those, starting from then, when Mary became and he came into the world at the proper time, her proper time. She started to be the new Eve, it means the mother of a new generation of the sons of God. So with Mary, also the all sons of God, those who are faithful to God and to her, they will crush the head of the serpent. This is the mission, her mission, this is our mission. So you know already to accomplish this mission, first of all, she was made immaculate. She was made immaculate with a way not a normal way. We became, through baptism, sons of God. She was preserved from original sin by a particular grace given only to her. She was preserved since from the beginning of her conception. When she was conceived, she was already immaculate, the only flower among thorns. She was the first light in the humanity, bringing the dawn of liberation, of salvation. So she was made immaculate, just to be the mother of the Son of God. God did not request anything from the mother of his Son, but only to be immaculate, no sin in her soul. She did not choose a woman who was the most beautiful, not the most powerful, not the most and so on, successful, no woman. Only a pure, so pure to be immaculate ever since. That is if someone will tell you, whom do you wish to have as a mother? Yeah, of course, everyone has known. Anyway, God has chosen that beautiful thing, that the mother of his beloved Son would be pure, immaculate. So Mary was made immaculate, then mother. Because immaculate, she could become mother. A role consequential. Becoming mother of Jesus becomes, we could say, automatically our mother. As Immaculate, it was given by God Himself the role of crushing always the head of the serpent. And as a Mother of God, she was given by God to become the mediatrix of all graces. All mercy, we would say, who is in God, God has given to her, that she may use in the way she likes all the mercy of all merciful grace we still now we receive from. So all graces come from her. So you see the plan of God. He is not the one really pushing through this plan. It is through Mary. Ever since, she will crush the head. She will be Mother of God. She is the mediatrix of all graces. It's like she has in her hand all things to make happy men, to make mankind safe. And so the beauty of this plan went on ever since and still now. Although she is in heaven, she continues. Oh no, how many miracles, how many graces. Every one of us has come to certain conclusions, feeling the presence of Mary so many times in our lives, so many episodes everyone knows. Maybe the whole truth we do not know about her, because she is like a mother, continuously, not from certain moments when we need, or no, always. She cares for her children all times, adjusting to the, we could say, the caprice of the children. Caprice of the children. Like mothers, who was a mother who was a son who is sick, another who is always stubborn, another. And so the mother adjusts. What is the mind of the mother, earthly mothers, is to try to make good one, a good son, good daughter. So Mary does the same. He has in her hands all the powers given to her by God. So she uses, even I could say in a maternal way, all this grace to give to all his children, either they are aware, they are not, sinners and not sinners, saints and not saints. Always. Mary is given as this tender care for every one of us. No? Only maybe in heaven, no? We will know how many care she had for every one of us, how many graces has given to every one of us, just to save our soul and to help us to sanctify us. There is another point also in the life of Mary in which it was not a privileged coming from God. It is always she was beside her son, sharing particularly the sufferings of her son. For the first time we know from the beautiful episode of the Gospel we celebrate February the 2nd, when the old Simeon told her also a sword will pierce your soul, It means that she was going to suffer the same sufferings of Jesus. How is that she could suffer? Yes, because apart from the gifts of knowing things, because although she didn't go to school, she knew things. Because she had no original sin, she could know things. Although she did not know in details all the sufferings of Christ, she knew that he becoming man, the Son of God becoming man, she had to suffer. According to Isaiah, chapter 6 of Isaiah, if you read that chapter, you notice that almost all things written there, Jesus suffered. So Mary knew very, very well, although not so much detail, that Jesus had to suffer, and Jesus had to suffer in a way really surpassing all the thoughts we could have about it. When she said yes, at the Incarnation, she meant not only to accept the Son of God in her life, in her womb, and to give her, to give humanity to the Son of God, but she accepted the whole plan of God. She was mother not only because she gave birth later to the Son of Man, who became the Son of God, who became man, but she said yes to all the sufferings up to the, from the beginning up to the end, up to the Calvary. She suffered as the Church teaches, even when she was proclaimed Immaculate, that as Pius IX, very beautiful words, said, there's only one mystery, Jesus and Mary, always together, always sharing the same sufferings, always sharing not only but also saving the world, both of them. Of course, Jesus as the main role there, but Mary collaborated 100%, you could say even more. So this collaboration of Mary to the salvation of mankind is extremely important to see. That is not a privilege given by God, it is on her own, on her own. This is important, because to be Immaculate, Mother of God, and also all other privileges are privileges given to her, but to be, we call in one word, we say co-redemptrix, is only by her own decision, Mary, by her own way how to collaborate with Jesus to be also co-redemptrix, to collaborate in the redemption of Christ. This is extremely important, this point, because this point of sharing the sufferings of Christ is the central point of our charism, of our charism. Now we are discovering our charism as Franciscans Immaculate little by little. So also Father Stefano still is alive. Until he is alive, the Holy Spirit through our Blessed Mother, from our Blessed Mother to him, still the charism is developed, being developed. And now he speaks, Father Stefano, about the charism. Our charism has brought us to have as a center, the co-redemption, the co-redemptrix, in order that we too, conclusion, that we too must become like our Blessed Mother, those consecrated souls will try to help Mary in this very great, important mission to save the world. How? Sufferings. Sufferings, that is. You should not be scared about this. When we love, like the mothers, if you tell the mothers, why you spend so much time for your children, sometimes they rest only a few hours, every night, for many years, when their children are very small, they don't think about this, they don't get, sometimes they get impatient already, no? But they are able to go on. Why? There is love there. When there is love, you can afford any sacrifice. This is to consider Mary as co-redemptrix, the origin of this wonderful sharing of Mary to the co-redemption, to the redemption, is love. It's great love. No one has loved Jesus and the Father as she loved. For this reason, she could go to any extreme in loving. And for this, our Marian vow, what is a Marian vow? Is the sharing of these extremes, we say, without limit. Loving, love without limit, suffering without limit. This is the Marian vow. To be able to love without limit, so that we may suffer without limit. Who gives unlimited love? Is our Blessed Mother, of course. This is why if you are really consecrated and believe the consecration, she will give us her power. Like in the life of Saint Maximilian, what you notice in the life, two phases the life of Saint Maximilian. First is ordinary sanctity, until he was missionary in Japan. Ordinary means, what does it mean to be an ordinary saint? Is to observe what you promise to God, to observe as a Christian, as a religious, one after the other commandments, thanks to the gospel, the church. If you observe all this, it is an ordinary sanctity. But sometimes, God demands more to us all. Our Blessed Mother demanded more to Saint Maximilian. And so the moment he was in Japan, Saint Maximilian, she felt a sort of great devotion and love so much, no one could stop him to love Mary and to do things. Although she was fever, 39, 40, 41, he didn't care at all. No? This is already heroic way, no? Of following our Blessed Mother. So up to the extent, not caring anymore about himself, just having in mind Mary, to marianize all things, to do all things for her in an extraordinary way. And so although he was sick, was having only part of his lungs, and yet was supposed to die 17 years before, and he didn't die. And as the help of Our Lady, he went on for 17 years, but he died that way. If not, maybe it would have been extended his life. I don't know, nowadays would be 100 years. So this is we are called to an ordinary life, but with Mary and Eva also higher level. No? Let us not be content, an ordinary Christian life, an ordinary sanctity. Anyway, Mary, that was the role of Mary. It is still the role of Mary. So in synthesis, Paul VI said, if you want to be a Christian, you have to be Marian. It is not optional. If you want to be a Christian, you must be Marian. It's the Pope. It's not. So beautifully, also, the previous Pope, John Paul II, many times he said these things in other words. To see that the role of Mary, not only in the redemption, very important, but also in the church nowadays and in the soul of every Christian. It is extremely important to know, because no one can be saved, can reach salvation, and can also reach the sanctification of our soul without Mary. Do not listen to those who say you are talking too much about Mary. Saint Maximilian says, although he was what he is, a saint, great saint, yeah? He said, so far I learned so little about Mary. It is a great mystery. Only God knows to what extent the mystery is in Mary, because only God has given so much, so many things to her, so many privileges and so on. So this is what, don't worry about. We say only we are still, and we are not really loving as we should love Mary. It is still not enough for what we are doing. So the more we grow in love with her, and the more we feel that we are still far from reaching that goal of loving perfectly our Blessed Mother. Now, let us see what is the role of the Franciscans of the Immaculate, the role of the Franciscans of the Immaculate. Have you asked sometimes yourself why the Franciscans of the Immaculate came to be, into existence just 20 years ago? Why? Why not 300 years ago or 500 years? No, it's just 20 years ago. You know, things made by God like this, it's never just happen, no. There is something in the mind of God, it's precise, very precise. There should be a reason why the Franciscans of the Immaculate came only now, this age, at this time, nowadays, at existence. Why? Well, it's not so hard to answer anyway, no? It is because we are Marian, Now there is one of the answers. It is because nowadays Mary is the last source, the last remedy for the humanity, because God is still allowing Mary to appear there and there and there, just to let for the humanity to repent, to convert, because no more than a mother can pierce the heart of the children. No? So this is why she appears there and there. It is the remedy God is giving to us, the right remedy. But with her, because it seems that although she appeared in Fatima, Our Lady told me, although many are not converted, many are going to hell, many so. And she says, because there are no people who pray, no people pray, that's our role. And that's, so if this is our Marian era, if Mary is the one to whom was given the remedy for the humanity to be saved, Our Lady is asking consecrated souls to help her in her mission. This is why the Franciscans of the Immaculate, this is the reason of our resistance, precisely in this moment. You know better than myself what is happening in the world, what is happening in the church. We saw just heard a conference from Veris, a very good preacher, but there was also Cardinal Burke saying at same moment beautiful insights regarding the conference, rebellion in the church. That's the topic, rebellion in the church. The Pope is speaking many times. The problem is not from outside, because where things are from outside, even persecutions, the church knows how to. The church knows that after all, it will be flourishing better and more. This happened everywhere where there were persecutions before. But when the evil is inside the church, what can be done? That is, what can be done? Because if you were one in the church, facing the bad things which are in the world, the evils of the world, it will be successful, our efforts, as it were years before. The Pope would speak, all together will act according to the mind of the Pope. And so it was a very powerful, strength, power, great power, in the hands of the Mary and the hands of the Pope. Nowadays things are not going like this. This Veris, I don't know if he is a professor, he's a lay person anyway, very good. He says from 50 years, 100,000 priests left. 100,000 priests left. I know other statistics from Friars Minor, the same. Every year they lose about 400 friars. They close 40 convents every year. But this was a statistic in 2000. I don't know, I don't think so. I hope it's better. But this is the ruin of the church. Doesn't come from outside. And last year the Pope had a meeting with the Franciscans, Minister General, as many prominent friars that were there. The Pope said, yes, St. Francis had the great mission of saving the church. Go and repair my church, who is falling in ruin. But the Pope said, now I'm telling you, first repair your church, repair your houses, and then you repair the church. Do you understand what it means? First be good Franciscans, then that's the time to repair, to help the church not to fall in ruin. This is from the mouth of the Pope, that is. It means many times the present Pope is speaking about the what is happening in the church, because the problem is within, we don't say anything. We should not feel better than others. No, absolutely. It's only a grace given to us to see better. To see better. It's a grace of Mary to see better the things in the church. But this is why, looking at things, it seems almost impossible to do something to repair the church, to let things go better. It's almost impossible. So, in this frame, we are there now. We are inserted into this frame of the ruin of the church, of the ruin of Franciscans, religious orders, the ruin of society, morals are going down anyway, no? Maybe because it is because of the church was not trying to. So we are called nowadays, in this present age, to do something. Saint Maximilian used to say, Our Lady is asking consecrated souls to help her to accomplish her mission to save the world. At Fatima the same, you know. So this is the role of our institute now, not because we are better than us, I repeat, because it should be clear in our mind. No? Sometimes the ideal is good, but maybe our life is worse than others, I do not know. I hope not. So it should be clear. But that is, at least the charism is this. God expects this. The Church, approving our charism, ratifies what it was in the mind of the Holy Spirit and of Blessed Mary, that this charism would be born at this age and will be bring, with our Blessed Mother, salvation to souls. So this is definitely the charism of the Franciscans of the Immaculate. Now, you have the great joy, honor, privilege to belong to this charism. It is not because of us, it is not because of anything or we are worthy. God chose souls, but He expects that these souls will really be collaborating to Mission of Mary. It's a serious thing, no? Serious thing. It's not just I'm consecrated, okay, I'm Marian vow, maybe it's okay. No. It is a serious thing to reflect upon. In practice, what we can do, in practice, what Our Lady expects from each one of us, what we can do to accomplish this important role nowadays in the Church, present age, what is expecting the Church, approving our charism? Well, that we live as a consecrated souls. We have made a consecration, though it doesn't mean consecration. If you read every day, maybe you repeat and renew beautifully, not the consecration. It is, there are two, three points very, very important in consecration. It is stated that, allow me to bring the whole world to you, imagine. You repeat, allow me to bring the whole world to you. That's the real intention, it's a real intention. To allow you to bring the whole world. This is your prayer, every day we renew. Is it my life? That's the point. No? Is it my life really as a consecrated soul? Or instead, sometimes we know, and this is our failures, and this is our, no? We act nothing as a consecrated soul, we act on our own. And so still there is plenty of pride, plenty of foolish things we do, plenty of, inordinate, how do you say in English? Anyway, all the unfortunately, the sins and wrong things we have and do. So Our Lady, remember, with the consecration, wants to let you become instrument. That is, consecration makes Mary free to enter in your soul, possess you. It is her territory, it's not yours anymore. It is her territory, also in your mind, your heart, affections, that Mary can enter, can use whatever is you, with all these powers for the good of mankind, for the good of mankind. But sometimes we do not reflect on this. And this is why instead of, Saint Maximilian was saying, imagine if there is a painter wants to make a very beautiful beautiful painting, he has brushes, not small. But brushes goes on their own way. It goes another way. And so the same also, Saint Maximilian brought another example. For example, we are an army, there is an army, and so the general says, you have to do this in order to win the battle. And the soldiers, they say, they go another way. They do not obey to where will. So what will happen to that army? Disaster. It's already finished for that. And that's the problem in the church. That is. So we have not to do the same. If not, we fall into the same error. We don't really do our job of helping Mary in her mission to save the world, to conquer the world, to bring all the world to God. So we have one of the most powerful means. This is why the consecration is so powerful. Why Mary asked the consecration? As also rosary to say every day at Fatima, why? It is the most important means. Nowadays, this Marian era, don't think any other way how to, because if Mary would know there were another way how to say, she would have told us. She asks prayer, rosary, she asks consecration. So these main things. You know the power of Hail Mary. I remember an episode, well, I read it anyway, no? In the life of a saint, blessed Jeremiah of Wallachia, anyway, from East of Europe. He was converted, then he went to Rome. It is 16th century. He went to Rome for a pilgrimage, and he had a vocation to become a Capuchin. He became a Capuchin, very holy, no? He was going every day to beg. Then in the night was praying very, very hard for all those souls who were in need of asking his prayers. And one night he was very tired, no? He used to say rosaries before sleeping, and it would be possible to him, rosary, Hail Mary. Since the moment could not manage anymore to continue, Hail Mary, but he felt tired. Then he felt someone shaking him. Where's this one? 1, 2, 3 times. Then understood there was some, in the name of God, who you are? He said, I'm a soul waiting that you finish your Hail Mary to go to heaven. You need the power of Hail Mary. It's a story. It's not that. We don't understand things of the, we don't see. It seems so strange, impossible. It is. God is very serious in this matter. One Hail Mary, and there was a priest who explained why the Hail Mary has this power. And because he explained like this. All the times we say Hail Mary, full of grace, it's a sort of glory we give to Mary. And she, even though is already in heaven, he humbles herself in front of the honor to give unto her. And so because of this act of humility, God gives many, many grace for one Hail Mary, up to the extent of saving a soul. Just one Hail Mary. But if you expand, extend the good you could do with all your good action, with all your charity, with all your suffering especially, later. If you expand this good you could do, this in your hands, not only rosary, as many as you can, because I know that it's so powerful and I can save many souls. So, but then if you add to this any little suffering, instead of getting impatient, not to accept, refusing, lamenting, say, well, I can do so much good for this, as the three children at Fatima were doing. You just offer this simple suffering. I offer to God for the salvation. Oy, how many souls you can save, how many souls to a suffering. And if you do then very well all your duties as a Christian, how many souls you can save? You see, let us say, the sort of the humanity, it is in the end of Mary, but also in your end, in our hands. So when we see wrong things outside, don't say, hey, this bad, well, okay, that's true. But we have to say, what I'm doing with the power I have of a consecration, of letting Mary work in me and letting Mary use me as an instrument with great, great things. This is my role. So I'm wasting time, I'm wasting the precious treasure of time, my life, doing nothing, doing foolishness, doing, I'm not referring to you in general, no? Doing things. And so instead I could do so much good, considering one Hail Mary, one suffering, because Mary didn't do any extraordinary things in her life. Most one like, as the duties you have, some other, do staying there. Whatever a mother can do, but inside of herself there was such interior life, so intensive, she could collaborate to, as a coordinator, to save the world. They are not the things we do outside, but the things, how we do things, ordinary things. Saint Gian Bosco once told to do Saint Dominic Savio, who started having in his mind, was only 14 years old, Saint Dominic, was trying to do extraordinary penances, not to rest, to rest when it was very cold with only... So Saint Gian Bosco said, no, this is not the way. You externally act as any, but inside, do things ordinary, but in an extraordinary way, love, faith, offering to Jesus, offering to Our Lady, continuously staying in contact with Our Lady, no? So we can save the world together. That's the reality, no? We can save the world. Not expecting what kind of extraordinary things might happen to my life. Maybe it will never happen. Saint Francis de Sales once he wrote to a sister, he said this was asking extraordinary penances what to do, not to improve. And the saint answered, do not expect lions in your life. You will never encounter a lion to fight, no? To be so brave and courageous. Maybe never happen in your life to meet lions, but you meet every day mosquitoes, no? Fight with mosquitoes. It was a place of mosquitoes, my friend. No? That's the reality of the saints, no? Do not expect extraordinary, but just what you have in your hand, where you stay, your family, your job, your, the surroundings, maybe you like, you don't like, you wish in one way, they are in another way, just to, not to lament, to accept and offer to God. How much good you could do, the world will be really not the same, it will be different if we all, members of the Franciscan family, we act this way. Using what God is giving every day in our hands for the good and salvation. Exactly what Mary, what the saints were doing. It's clear, no? It's very clear.
Do you have any questions? Anyone have any questions?
Father, can you share with them what are the activities the MIM is doing in Italy? What type of activities do the MIM get involved with in Italy?
Activities? Well, are different according to the place. Well, in Frigente, for example, there is, how do you say, Black Rosary. The Our Lady has brought from one house to another.
Oh, yes, the Marian Cenacle?
Yes, the Cenacle. To the houses. Other places, there are other activities. Well, they help missions in, for example, for, this is more, sometimes they go to houses or even in the parishes, with permission of the parish priest, they sell something in order for, and they send these things to the money to the missions, to help the missions and so on. Other things.
The Day with Mary, is that?
Oh, Day with Mary, of course, yes, Day with Mary. Here I know you have different activities, maybe, no? You have different activities. But the activities, anyway, this should be adjusted to the place, whatever is the need of the place. And this is. Sometimes it could be very good, for example, to go and visit the sick people, those who are in need, old people, to extend your charity to them is very nice, important. Sometimes no one will do it. So, especially nowadays, sometimes they abandon, no? They abandon the old people. So, if you extend your love to them, going to visit all those who are in jails, those.
That could be still fulfilling the Marian apostolate, which
yes.
The MIM is required.
Yes, yes.
Catechesis?
Catechesis, yes. Mm.
Yes.
I know that you are for pro-life.
Pro-life.
That's very good. We don't have in Italy. It's very nice here, no? In America too, no? It's something we don't have in Italy. But here, I know that's very, it's very nice, the apostolate you have.
Any questions? Does anyone have any questions for Father?
It's clear anyway, no? It's very clear what to do.
Thank you very much, Father,
yes.
For your words of inspiring words to help us to live our consecration to the Immaculate
yes.
With greater generosity and love.
Yes.
They were very interested, Father. We shared with them about the plan of a retreat house near San Giovanni Rotondo. That would be a retreat house that
yes.
Lay people can stay at as well?
Yes, it is made for lay people. It's about, we had the permission from the Bishop of San Giovanni Rotondo to build this house. It was donated to us, a big piece of land, about four hectares, something like. And so on this coming March, they will start building, already with permission of the bishop, this sort of retreat house so the lay people can stay, especially for Mim.
Especially for Mim.
So, maybe next year. Hopefully, it depends on the money. But anyway, God will provide, you know. Hopefully next year, going to San Giovanni Rotondo.
There was a prophecy connected by Padre Pio, was there, with that land?
Yes, Father Stefano saying this, that there will be some happenings in the world. And Padre Pio was saying, don't worry, those who will be San Giovanni Rotondo and in the ray of 30 kilometers, nothing will happen to them. So, we are trying to build also this house, not out of fear, but it is because it's needed there.
Yes.
There was the land given to us, and maybe, who knows, no? One day we'll be all there. So.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.